The U.S. Navy is sending its most advanced aircraft carrier to the Caribbean. The move comes against the backdrop of a forthcoming national defense strategy expected to emphasize the security of the Western Hemisphere, the Monitor's Anna Mulrine Grobe writes today. Some have likened it to an updated Monroe Doctrine, intended to counter China's influence in Central and South America. In a May cover story, staff writer Howard LaFranchi described that doctrine as a 19th century spheres of influence approach to international affairs. The regions of North, Central, and South America should be exclusively the United States' economic, diplomatic, and military domain. At the time, the Trump administration was hinting at a Monroe Doctrine 2.0. Now, it seems to be implementing it. More on the economic aspects of that tomorrow from Howard. It's Thursday, October 30th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The first school offered to join the Trump administration's preferential funding agreement. According to Fox News, the Valley Forge Military College sent a letter to the Department of Education saying participation would offer valuable opportunities for collaboration, shared learning, and continuous improvement. The administration sent the compact to 9 schools on October 1st, promising access to federal funds in exchange for compliance with certain terms, a move critics say threatens academic freedom. Germany pledged more than $1 billion for senior home care for Holocaust survivors globally next year. It is the country's single largest home care payout since Holocaust reparations began in 1952. The government also earmarked $205 million to fund Holocaust education programs through 2029. The move comes as countries grapple with the spread of Holocaust misinformation online and spikes in anti-Semitism. About 220,800 survivors, spread across 90 countries, are still living. Also, a new Dr. Seuss book comes out early next year. An original manuscript and cover sketch by the beloved author and illustrator was discovered in the archives of the Geisel Library at the University of California, San Diego. Sing the 50 United States, a rhyme to teach readers the names of all 50 states, will be published by Random House Children's Books. Artist Tom Brannon completed new illustrations for the text in the style of Dr. Seuss and followed the author's notes on art direction. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. A rising U.S. military presence near Venezuela has stirred questions around whether the goal is a drug crackdown or regime change. An effort to oust the regime of Nicolas Maduro would carry risks, with or without U.S. troops on the ground. Anna Mulrine Grobe and Mia Highrice-Dahl report from Brussels and Mexico City for The Monitor. The ceasefire in Gaza is holding, barely. Violations highlight challenges facing Hamas until a new Palestinian administration is formed and a security force is deployed. It's a dynamic that leaves Palestinians' hopes for a reconstruction phase on hold. Taylor Luck and Ghada Abdel Fattah report from Amman, Jordan, and Deir al-Balah, Gaza Strip, for The Monitor. The U.S. government shutdown is affecting funding for a food assistance program used by nearly 42 million Americans. With benefits set to end Saturday, what challenges will people face and what are states doing to help them? Troy Aiden Sambajon and Jacob Turcott report for The Monitor. Chicago residents are grappling with Operation Midway Blitz, an aggressive federal immigration enforcement campaign. A major apartment raid in South Shore, a historically black neighborhood, surfaced empathy and lingering resentment over city support for migrants. Contributor Richard Mertens reports from Chicago for The Monitor. Soft power can't replace military force, but it can go a long way toward bolstering a country's international status. Look no further than South Korea's K-pop reach. Lindsay McGinnis reports from Seoul, South Korea, for The Monitor. What began in 1975 as a picnic among Clan Murray members has grown into the annual New Hampshire Highland Games and Festival. Cue the bagpipes. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Troy Aiden Sambahon report from Lincoln, New Hampshire, for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on clean sports versus dirty gambling. In the 7 years since the U.S. Supreme Court gave a green light for states to legalize sports betting, 39 have done so, dozens of professional and collegiate athletes have been punished for gambling violations. Last week, the National Basketball Association was engulfed in a scandal after the federal indictment of a current NBA player, a retired one, and a current head coach. They allegedly gave inside information to illegal gamblers. How has the NBA responded? In a memo to its 30 teams, it called for several reforms, such as curbing bets on certain aspects of a game. Most of all, it seeks to improve the education of players and other NBA personnel. That could be a big step for American athletics as more sports leagues now grapple with legalized betting, and with the tendency to see fans as valuable gamblers rather than as valued spectators. Until now, regulation and tight enforcement has been the default approach. Vast electronic systems are in place to catch cheating. Players are assumed to be prone to corruption. If the NBA now moves to enhance the moral dignity of players, enabling them to better resist gambling interests based on principles, that would be a mental sea change and perhaps better ensure the sport's integrity. To a large degree, a sea change has already begun among the largest group of sports bettors, young men. 3 years ago, 9% of men under age 30 placed an online sports wager. This year, the figure reached 21%, according to a Pew Research Center survey. At the same time, Pew found that 47% of men under age 30 now say legal sports betting is a bad thing for society, up from 22% who said this in 2022. Attitudes towards gambling's chief belief, luck, may be giving way to a return to the understanding that talent, inspiration, fair play, and hard work are the essence of sports and essential to its survival. That turn of thought has already begun in international efforts to curb doping and other problems in athletics. In 2017, the International Association of Athletics Federations founded an integrity unit to create the right frameworks for each and every athlete to succeed. In 2014, the World Anti-Doping Agency ran a global campaign called Play True to emphasize the benefits of clean sports to athletics. In addition, research in Europe has shown that providing a values-based education to athletes, emphasizing an individual's principles, can reverse moral disengagement from issues like doping. Perhaps that helps explain the theme of this year's Play True campaign. It starts with you. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how 150 years after the book was first published, the timeless ideas shared in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures continue to help and heal. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.